These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
That's right. It's Tuesday. It's bonus scoop time. Forget Phil Mackey. It's Zolgad. It's Darren Doogie Wolfson, Channel 5 Eyewitness News and Scoop fame. It is executive producer Declan Goff. And without further ado, let's get right to the scoops. Before we opened up the mics, Darren, you told me that you had some interesting Wolves. I wouldn't call it speculation. I would call it news off which we can then speculate. Fire away, sir.
Yeah, it was our lengthy, about 30-second pre-recording chat. Hey, what should we talk about today?
That's what I said.
I said to you, Judd, hey, I have some steam that the Wolves have started to reach out to other teams seeking out permission to interview POBO candidates. When I say POBO, President of Basketball Operations, those candidates. So
okay.
When I have specific names, I certainly will spew those names. I've brought up two names going back to last September that I've heard the buzz, specifically Lori A-Rod. Mm-hmm. Certainly have some interest in Elton Brand, who's the number two guy in Philadelphia, plus Landry Fields, who is in the Atlanta front office. Declan, if you have a sec, can you verify that? I should know, top of my head. But I believe Landry Fields, former NBA player like Elton, is in the Atlanta Hawks front office. Now, when I can report specific names, I will. Those are just names I've brought up since last September. I don't have those two names verified at all. I imagine at some point other names will emerge. Let's not forget about the incumbent, Sachin Gupta. Sachin Gupta absolutely will be given every opportunity to win the president of operations job.
Interesting. So we know that from his comments during the playoffs, Chris Finch is definitely a Gupta fan. Clearly things went well there. So I guess my question is this: how much of an influence, since Finch has been signed to an extension, do we think Chris Finch will have on the search process? Because you probably can't dismiss the fact that he will have some type of voice as far as his next working partner.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that plays out. Like, I can't exactly quantify that right this second, but I can tell you, let me lay out the evidence, Judd, that Chris Finch still had term left on his contract. Yet the Wolves, the bus driven largely by Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez, ripped up Finch's contract about six-ish weeks ago, gave him a new contract, right? They did not have to do that. All right. So that tells us what they think of Chris Finch. So you do that for Chris. Wouldn't you listen to what he wants? That there's cohesion. There's no drama. Judd, we can go back so many years citing all sorts of different examples of drama at Mayo Clinic Square.
Yes.
It's drama-free right now. That is really weird to say, but that is the case. So why wouldn't you want to keep this thing going? And truthfully, if the reason you wouldn't hire Sachin is because you want a more dynamic personality in that role, that's just not Sachin. Great guy, though. He's earned this opportunity. Like, how often does the president of operations, how often is that person front and center? Yeah, you're doing the occasional, hey, hop on with you and Phil chat.
Right.
You're hopping on. You name the radio station, maybe the pregame show on television. But really, you're doing something pre-trade deadline, post-trade deadline. You're doing something when the season ends to wrap up the season. You're doing something pre-draft, post-draft. Then you're doing something post-free agency, assuming you sign a free agent. Then you're doing something at media day in late September. You're really not doing a whole lot, at least front and center, on mic, on camera. Sachin Gupta was wanted by the Sacramento Kings not that long ago. He's worked in Houston. He's worked in Philly. He's worked in Detroit. Now being here for multiple years. Final decision maker for the past 9 months. He is ready. He is more than ready to be a president of operations.
And if he does not get the job, he is going to almost certainly bolt and go somewhere where he will get that job, correct? So, like, this is not a Elton Brand is now the POBO, and hey, Sachin, back to your old executive VP role.
Well, I can tell you this. So Gupta's contract originally was set to expire this summer. But when everything transpired with Rosas in late September, there was something done to the contract where I was told Sachin's contract contains a lot of gray area. It's no longer as black and white as he is an unrestricted free agent this summer. But yes, logically speaking, after being the final decision maker for 9 months, leading things at the trade deadline, coming off the drama of the Rosas dismissal, like, could you really go back to being the number two here? Maybe you can go back to being a number two somewhere else.
Right.
Like, remember, the original plan was he was going back to Houston to be the number two under his good buddy Raphael Stone. Like, that was a done deal in August. Then word started to trickle out about stuff going on with Gerson, and Sutchin said, okay, like, let me hold off on going to Houston. And so, you know, things then happened. Sutchin ends up being elevated in terms of power. Kept his original title, though. Let's not forget that. He never got the title of interim president of operations. He just kept his vice president of operations title. Yet he was the final decision maker, so he had that power, but he never got a new title. But yeah, I think it would be really, really difficult for him to be the number two under, let's say, Elton Brand. Like, I just don't know if that would be a dynamic that would suit Sutchin real well.
Speculative question, Dugs, for you off of this too. If indeed, so like if Laurie and A-Rod are saying, hey, let's go talk to Elton Brand, some big names. At the end of the day, who would pay him then? Because I'm guessing that Glenn likes Gupta because, well, he's Glenn, and it's not that Gupta wouldn't get a raise. He would, but it would still be cheaper. So I guess my question is, while Taylor is going to still be the majority owner of the Timberwolves, ultimately, wouldn't payday play a big role here unless Laurie steps up and says, screw it, I'll just pay him?
Yes. Well, and heck, let me read you verbatim, Judd. So this is a current president of operations. I won't even say which conference, but a current president of operations, because I reached out to a number of people seeking out some specific names, right? Word triculates in the league, especially a lot of these guys have the same representation, same agent, right? So I was trying to get some names nailed down. I wish I had those names nailed down. I could recklessly speculate. I did bring up just going back to September Brand and Fields, but let me read you. So I reach out to this president of operations while killing time over at the X this morning in between Dean Evason and the Wild had a meeting, right? So we had to wait on Matt Boldy. Nicholas Delorier. So I had a bunch of time to kill. So I'm sitting there in the press conference room. So I start texting a bunch of people. Cool. So I say, are you hearing anything on the president of operations job here with Minnesota? Hope you're well. Someone over Sutchin ? You know what? I'm more curious if A-Rod and Laurie get the team. Jed, this is something we've brought up. How often? There are still people, very powerful people in league circles, truly wondering if this transition is truly going to take place December of 2023, wow. Do Mark, do Alex truly have all the finances in order? Oh, is Glenn truly ready to hand over the keys to no longer being majority owner? There are still people, Judd, in the league. I'm telling you, this is verbatim in a text message 2 hours ago.
And
90 minutes
power
ago.
Broker,
actually, but this is at 11:57 a.m. We're talking here at 1:03 p.m.
Doogie. This is a powerful person.
Now, so this is again, admittedly, somebody with... He really doesn't have any ties here to Minnesota, put it that way. He knows people here. He's been in the league for a really long time. He rightfully is a president of operations right now. He has earned that opportunity. Wow. But it's not like he's in the belly of the beast here. But I'm just telling you, these are questions that people in the league are legitimately wondering about.
Wow.
So I don't have that answer, but... Do I think that it's possible that Mark and Alex, like they did with Finchie, drive that bus and convince Glenn, hey, like, let's give Elton Brand 5 years, $25 million, 5 years, $30 million. And obviously, we still feel like we are taking over December of 23, so we are going to foot a majority of that bill. Yes, that is entirely possible. But there are still questions being asked. There are.
That is juicy, dude.
And Glenn is still the majority owner.
Declan, play the sounder.
For the next 17 months. Glenn is the final, the ultimate final decision maker for the next 17 months.
Like when we
that is not changing.
No, I know. But when we have a person in the league basically still at this point wondering, like it's one thing for us to broach it, right? you know, Dugues and Judd talking about what might happen. It's another to get a text from a guy saying, I'm very curious. I mean, that's a, I don't
want
to
say unprompted. It's not like I asked a specific question. Yeah, well, it is interesting because, I read you the question I asked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was not a specific Mark and Alex question.
Right.
This person then took it that direction, right?
Boy.
And he's a big fan of Sutchin. He absolutely feels like Sutchin should be the president of operations here. Like, he doesn't even think it should be an issue, a question. But then he turned the corner on, you know, and we have a relationship, and so he knows I know stuff here, and he's curious, right? I mean, it's not like we text on a regular basis, but, you know, he's somebody I lean on for league information.
That's interesting.
Right? So, I mean, he's got my name stored in his phone, and so he knows, and so I'm just saying, like, these are questions that people in the league are legitimately asking.
Wow.
All right, would he be the betting favorite, though, too, Dukes, before we transition? Do you think Sutchin is the betting favorite to retain and get the actual Pobo job?
It's a good question. Like, I wouldn't put him minus on a money line, Declan.
Sure.
You know, so maybe, like, at plus 175?
Okay.
Plus 190?
Terms I understand better.
If Glenn wasn't selling the...
And I get it, though. The entire audience doesn't mean that, but that would mean... Like a minus money line,
right?
You'd have to bet $110 if it was minus 110 to win 100.
Yes.
Right? So if you're a minus money line, like, you're an overwhelming favorite, right? Depending on what it is. But even minus 110, you're a pretty heavy favorite. Me making Gupta potentially a favorite at plus 175 or plus 190, that means if you bet $100, let's say it's plus 190, you then win 190. So anybody that's a betting favorite on a plus money line, there's a lot of gray area, right? So I still need to see this process play out, Declan. Like, put it this way. Gupta is going to have to win the job.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has been promised. Do I think he's capable of winning the job? I do. But he'll have to win it in the interview process.
And I think the question becomes this. Does Sachin Gupta deserve to be penalized for not making moves with a team that was pretty good when you consider the Wolves standards? Because that's really it. Like, they're going to say, you really didn't make moves. Like, this was Gerson's team. You did a good job of maintaining it. Chris Finch was the star of the show, you know, as far as coach or GM or Pobo might be concerned. But he is going to take a hit for the fact that they can clearly say you didn't do much with this team. And I guess my question is that fair? The answer is not entirely, but I understand the question. So
I understand it, but, like, should we be giving him credit for not doing anything, not overreacting, being patient?
Correct.
Now, at one point, they made all sorts of progress at the trade deadline on a Montrezl Harrell trade. Acquiring Montrezl Harrell, does that help them beat Memphis? He would have helped.
I was going to say, it might.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
he can rebound.
Yes, in some ways, it might have. Yes.
You know, I mean, he's got, you know, some skill. I mean, he's 6'7", so he's not like this, you know, uber talented rebounder, but Montrezl Harrell can play. Like, he would have been in their rotation. He would have helped them the rest of February into March, into early April. He would have helped them against Memphis. I still think they would have been the 7 seed. Like, I don't think they were catching Denver, but who knows? Maybe they end up catching Denver. Then they would have lost in the first round to Golden State. Like, Golden State would have been a horrible matchup. I would have taken it as a second round matchup for experience sake. But if the Wolves had opened up against Golden State, I think it would have been a bloodbath. I think the series would have been over in 5. I just don't like that matchup for the Wolves. But, like, him not acquiring Montrezl Harrell, like, how much do we want to hold that against him? He did get the Patrick Beverley extension done. I'll say it again. I said it at the time. You couldn't give Bev a 2-year deal. Bev wanted 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to settle for 1 year. Maybe they went a little overpay on 1 year, $13 million. Mm-hmm. But, like, with Bev's age, injury history, like, and the flexibility they are looking at potentially having summer of 23. Like, you couldn't give Bev a 2-year extension. So they got him to agree to a 1-year extension. You know, Greg Monroe was a minor move, but I don't think they beat the Celtics in the regular season at Target Center.
I was there.
Without Greg Monroe.
Greg Monroe game.
Right? So, I mean, they could have signed somebody else, but they signed Greg Monroe. I thought they waited too long to bring him back at the end of the regular season. Like, I didn't think Torian Prince was hitting his incentives to put them over the luxury tax, but I get it from Gupta's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Torian Prince had somehow hit those incentives, even if it was a 0.2% chance, could you imagine that phone call, Gupta to Glenn Taylor, to say, hey,
no,
Glenn,
no,
sorry, we are now $4,000 over the luxury tax. You don't get your piece of the pie. So if you're under the luxury tax, every owner in the league will get approximately $9.5 million. Could you imagine Gupta having to make that phone call to Glenn to say, sorry, Glenn, Corey and Prince hit a few more threes than I really thought he would, and you don't get that $9.5 million. That would have been a death sentence, right?
Yeah,
for Gupta. Not a literal death sentence, but if that happened,
I hear you.
You would have had a better chance to be the Pobo than Gupta. So I understand where Gupta was coming from in that regard. But, like, I would not hold against him not acquiring Harrell or doing something else. Like, Brad Stevens in Boston wanted Malik Beasley. Like, should he have traded Malik Beasley for Josh Richardson plus Aaron Nesmith? Like, no. Right? And I commend Sutchin for asking for Marcus Smart. Why not, you know, offer the rebuttal? Okay, Brad, you really want Malik Beasley? You need more shooting? Mm-hmm. Give me that defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. And, you know, I'm sure Brad laughed or did whatever. It said, no, I'm not trading you Marcus Smart. But, like, that to me was a logical rebuttal. Why not? Like, you were never trading Malik for Josh Richardson and Aaron Nesmith.
Right.
Or Romeo Langford. Like, you weren't making that trade. Right? So, like, I personally don't hold the trade deadline against him.
Vikings, sir, let's pivot to a team that is going to have a rookie minicamp, I believe, this weekend. What's going on with the Vikings?
Yeah, we get access on Friday, 1 o'clock practice, 2:15 Kevin O'Connell news conference, plus we can grab some rookies coming off the field. That's the only day we get access. But yeah, the rookie minicamp will go on all weekend. I do know the Vikings are trying to get at least some of these draft picks signed this week. Now,
sure.
You look at, like, you know, the Chiefs signing the 30th overall pick, the defensive lineman from Purdue. Pretty sure that's a full guarantee, right? So, you know, Lewisine's going to push for something similar. In fact, that, right? If the 30th pick gets the full guarantee, 32nd mm-hmm. pick wants the full guarantee. So there'll be some back and forth on that. But the Vikings would like to get some of these guys wrapped up this week. So, yeah, we get the schedule on Thursday. I saw at Score North on Twitter, you guys are wondering, you know, who will the Vikings open up against? Well, we know on the road week 2. We know on the road week 4 in London against the Saints. We know now bye week 5, you have the bye coming off the London trip. They have the extra home game this year, so 9 home games, 8 road games. I think it's a slam dunk. They're opening up at home in all likelihood Sunday, September 11th. They're not going to play back-to-back Monday night games. They're not playing on the Thursday night game the opening week. So they will play on Sunday, September 11th. And I'm telling you, like, I'll be shocked if it's not U.S. Bank Stadium. Don't think it will be an NFC North game. So I don't think Packers, Lions, or Bears. I don't think it will be an AFC game. So no Jets, no Patriots, no Colts. So that leaves Cowboys, Cardinals, Giants. I don't see the Vikings opening up against Dallas. So that leaves Arizona and New York. My money would be on the Giants of those two. But how great would it be to open up against Arizona? DeAndre Hopkins suspended. You want to play the Cardinals early in the season. But yeah, my money's on the New York Giants.
All I know is that...
Not heavy money, by the way. I don't have any deep insight. Like, I gave you the reckless speculation a few weeks ago on Vikings Saints in London. Thankfully, that came to fruition. But right. I admit it. It was very much reckless speculation, but somebody gave it to me, so I threw it out for sake of reckless speculation Thursday, although I think we did it on a Tuesday, like we're recklessly speculating a little bit today. But yeah, this one's a complete dart, throwing it out there, you know, hoping it sticks, right? That if I had to bet, if you're asking me to bet, and I bet like 40 cents or a dollar or something like that, I will say the New York Giants week 1, U.S. Bank Stadium, noon kickoff.
I was going to say the Judd Zolgad 2022 mock schedule unveiled today on Purple Daily agrees with you completely.
Nice. September 11th. All
right. I will say this too, Dukes, just as something I saw in the last couple of days that I found intriguing. So the Giants are going to play the Packers in London in week 6. Supposedly the Giants have told the league, we do not want the post European game bye. Because it's too early. We want it later. Now, according to the report I read, the league can ignore that and say, no, sorry, it's your bye week. But the point being is, and I don't know this, but it sounds like teams can like try and at least put their foot down a little bit and say, you know, week 5 bye? No, thank you. I don't think the Vikings will, but it's just something to keep in mind that teams, I guess, are now at the point of saying, we would prefer to come back from like that game and play immediately in London than as opposed to have the bye be so early in the season.
Well, I mean, that intriguing. There are teams that need to have some early byes, right? But yeah, I mean, yeah. I understand it. If the Vikings maybe made a comparable request, I will dig on that. I have no idea if they have, but the Giants have a new GM. They have a new head coach, much like the Vikings. You know, I don't know how the league looks at that and says, hey, first timers, like, no, you know, thanks for the request, but we're not honoring that. But,
yes,
you know, like, I get it. So week five would be Sunday, October 10th. Do I have the date right?
I think that's
correct. So, yeah, I mean, I get it.
I think that's correct.
Like, do you really want October 10th as your bye week when it could potentially be later in October or early or mid-November? Of course you want later in the schedule, but I'm not quite sure the Vikings have much control over that. I'm just telling you, me personally, I am anticipating from a planning standpoint, maybe a chance to escape that weekend because the Gopher football team doesn't play that Saturday.
How about that?
So the Gophers have their Big Ten bye.
Yeah,
so maybe the wife and I escape for a couple of days. So just something I've thought about. So I'm just telling you, I am anticipating. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We'll find out here in 48 hours or so. But
up north or something?
Yeah, something simple.
Just enjoying a weekend together? Yeah. I love it.
Flights are just absurdly expensive. I'm at this Gophers caravan in Chaska yesterday, all right?
Yeah.
Off of Highway 5.
Yep.
424 at a Holiday.
Yep. 420 this morning.
424 at a Speedway.
Yeah.
Now in my neck of the woods, more like 409. I'll tell you what.
399 by me.
424 is so freaking alarming. Like you look and you're like, 424 for a freaking gallon of gas? Are you kidding me?
I know.
But yeah, 424 South Metro yesterday.
Hey, 5% back on those credit cards for gas issues right now, Doogie. He's racking up those points. I'm actually not too upset about that in that regard.
Rack that up. Rack up the Hy-Vee points. Huh? Take advantage of Hy-Vee.
Costco.
And
Costco's got
we
gas.
Are Costco members. There yeah. The problem with Costco is you're like in a line that takes like 45 minutes. Like in our neck of the woods, Judd, I'm like telling you, like I've been stuck. 45 is a little bit of an exaggeration, but like those lines at the Costco gas station are ridiculous.
Like the 70s, Doogie. It's like the 70s. It's just a pain in the ass. Twins.
Yeah, I'll be over there.
What do you got on the Twins?
What, about an hour and a half or so? Uh-huh. Rocco can come back tomorrow, back in town, but today would be day five. So he can be back tomorrow. Fun pitching matchup tonight. Joe Ryan, Justin Verlander. We await news on Chris Paddock's elbow. So, Judd, I have reached out to multiple people. I kind of think, okay, let's keep going with reckless speculation. I kind of think one of these people would have gotten back to me.
Reckless speculation.
If it was relatively minor and I didn't get any text messages back.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but there is concern, right? He had the partially torn ulnar collateral ligament. Injection. He had Tommy John many, many years ago.
16.
But he had that partially torn UCL. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard not to wonder. So we should get an update. Jace Tingler talks at 3:30. We should have an update mid-afternoon at some point. Somebody's going to have to go on the record and give us an update, even if they want to just keep pushing it in the distance, saying he's still getting looked at, checked out, whatever. But I'm just telling you, like, I think somebody would have texted me back, like, on Buxton. I didn't put it out on Twitter for the masses, but I tweeted back to a couple people who had asked me before the news then came out later in the weekend on Buxton's hip. So Sunday morning, I had the intel he would be fine, right? So I tweeted a couple people back that in my timeline asked, how's Buxton? So I just tweeted back. I said, I'm told he'll be fine. And it came out about an hour later. The Twins went on record saying he's fine. Right. So like that, I got back instantly on Sunday. Paddock, roadblock, like no text back. So I'm just saying my tentacles are up on the Chris Paddock situation.
Dukes, what is the what should the potential criticism of that trade be if a guy who had Tommy John in 2016 and then probably more importantly definitely had elbow issues late in September I think of 2021 now is lost? Because I mean, it's not like you traded a minor league prospect who was like 14th. I mean, you know, there was no question that Rodgers would definitely help this team. So what do you think the criticism could be if it comes out today or tomorrow that he indeed is lost?
Well, and Rodgers has been lights out for San Diego.
He's been very
Have you seen his numbers?
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been phenomenal for San Diego.
Yeah.
He was going to leave after this year.
Sure.
Right? But, unrestricted free agent. The Twins were not retaining him. The Twins just don't, you know, like look at Trevor May when he left for New York. Like the Twins didn't make him an offer. They just, they don't believe, and I'm okay with it. They don't believe in paying these relievers ridiculous money on multi-year deals. Like that's why to me it's a foregone conclusion that Tyler Duffy is pitching his final season in a Twins uniform, that he's good enough to get decent money in the market on a multi-year deal, that I'm just telling you, I'm betting right now come November, December, that Tyler Duffy ends up elsewhere. The Twins have not approached Duffy at any point about a contract extension. So Rogers was going to leave. They also got back in that deal Emilio Pagan. Some control issues so far, but it's not like he's been a train wreck. He has allowed some base runners, but he somehow has weaseled his way out of, you know, some of those circumstances. Not all. It's not like he's been perfect, but Emilio Pagan has been decent, right? And they did get an okay prospect about 2 weeks ago. Initially, it was a player to be named later. That player was named about 2 weeks ago, and he was like one of San Diego's top 20 prospects, maybe closer to 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
But they did get back somebody that at least has a chance. So you look at the totality of the package they got for a guy that was going to leave in December, you know, or the winter, whenever in the winter, in Rogers. Right. I don't necessarily think, plus Paddock has multiple years of team control remaining. It's not like Chris Paddock is a free agent next winter. So, yeah, I don't think the criticism is going to be large. That's just me.
Final scoops before we wrap this show up.
Sure. Well, the Gopher basketball team adds Taurus Samuels, the Dartmouth transfer guard. Played well against Georgetown. You know, he's had some moments. This is exactly what Ben Johnson was looking for. Yeah, Samuels is, you know, maybe a little bit on the small side, you know, more like 6'1", not 6'3", 6'4". But he can play off the ball. We talked about that last week. So, Taurus Samuels on Monday night commits to the Gophers. That's probably it, Judd. Like, I was with Ben Johnson at an event yesterday. He was at that Chaska event. And I get the sense, even though he still has multiple open scholarships, this will be it. You know, maybe something changes way down the road, but like immediately, like he's not in on Kerwin Walton Jr. He's not in on Jones, the kid from Woodbury, the Davidson transfer. He's no longer in on Josiah Strong, the Illinois State transfer from Champlin Park High School. So the roster you now see is pretty much the roster that I expect to see come November. But Ben is pretty jacked up. It was nice to catch up with PJ Fleck yesterday. So much talk about name, image, likeness. There's a bigger story there for me to tell. I got Mark Coyle talking about that. Heck, even Hugh McCutcheon talking about it if it impacts volleyball at all. But clearly, football, basketball, name, image, likeness. You see the Kansas State point guard, Nigel Pack. He ends up in the portal, ends up at the University of Miami in Florida. He is getting paid some endorsement deal. Like the question is, did Miami help facilitate that deal? There was some new legislation that came out from the NCAA on Monday about boosters, but there's still a lot of gray area with name, image, likeness. But like this guard goes Kansas State to Miami for $400,000 a year on a 2-year deal. Like that is sick money, right? And he's getting a car. I'm just telling you some of the stuff I've heard about Kerwin. You know, if he ends up at a private school in the Midwest, you know, what he'll end up getting paid. Certainly not $400,000, but, you know, just some of the numbers being bandied about. Plus use of a car, like name, image, likeness is crazy. Dawson Garcia was at game 4 of the Wolves Grizzlies series, sitting with a big wig from here in town, a real big wig, you know, so just, you know, there's a lot of things flowing through my mind about name, image, likeness.
As we wrap, Chris Paddock is out with right elbow inflammation. He is seeking more opinions on what the next step is. Dan Hayes of The Athletic reporting he is hearing surgery is on the table. Also, Carlos Correa is expected to go on the injured list today. No setbacks, but the finger isn't progressing as he hoped. But I think he'll be all right. But Chris Paddock out with elbow inflammation and probably heading towards surgery.
Well, and so that speaks, first off, on Correa, the fluidity of injuries.
Yes.
Right? Because I was over at the ballpark on Friday, you know, spoke with Derek Falvey. Falvey went on the record. Tingler went on the record. At that point on Friday, it was, he's day-to-day, right? Well, day-to-day now, 4 days later on Tuesday, unfortunately, Correa has to go on the injured list. So there's always fluidity when a guy is hurt. And it's what we talked about 10 minutes ago, right? When I said that, hey, somebody got back to me right away on Buxton. He'll be fine. Mm-hmm. When they don't get back to you, the right. tentacles go up. So, yeah. So kudos to Dan for having, you know, the official news that surgery is on the table, seeking out a little bit more info. But yeah, I had a sense that the news wasn't going to be real positive today about Mr. Paddock.
All right. Great stuff, sir. We'll talk to you on Thursday for more Scoopage.